inflammatory things like fried foods and processed meats with nitrates and nitrites, deli slices, sandwich meats, things like sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, pastrami, pepperoni, jerky. The people who have the fewest cardiovascular disease, the fewest heart attacks, the fewest strokes, fewest clogged arteries, are the Inuit Eskimos above the Arctic Circle. 98% of their diet is saturated fat and cholesterol. They eat nothing but whale meat and whale blubber, walrus meat and walrus blubber, seal meat and seal blubber, bear meat and bear fat. They don't eat any fruit. They don't eat any vegetables, no nuts, no grains. And yet have the fewest cardiovascular events of all. And they're, their blood cholesterol has run from 350 to 500. Anybody tells you get your blood cholesterol below 220, fire them. The final nail in the coffin to the theory that cholesterol caused disease came in Time Magazine, June 23rd, 2014. Article, Time Magazine, and the title was only two words. It said, eat butter. The subtitle was, scientists labeled saturated fat the enemy, why they were wrong. It was a whole story about Ansel Keys and the submarine lubricant and so forth. Go back to butter and cream and stay away from the oils. Oils kill. Olive oil, coconut oil, but, bam, you're dead. Okay, the double helix was proposed as the structure of DNA back in 53 by these two guys, James Watson, Francis Crick. The whole idea was to get all these screening tests. They have 850 biotech companies that come up with all these screening tests to find out when a two-year-old baby what diseases they're going to get when they're 30, 40, 50, 60. And you can get rid of their bad genes, put in a good gene. That's genetic engineering. That's the whole idea of genetics. In 2003, the human genome was mapped out. We know all the genes in the human body. They attached them to certain chromosomes, and they put diseases they thought were genetically transmitted on these genes. And after 60 years, from 1953 to 2013, there had not been a single disease thought to be genetically transmitted, prevented, or cured with genetic engineering. So everybody's kind of scratching their head saying, well, what's going on? Maybe we're missing the boat here. Well, March 22nd, 2013, who had been after he got the Nobel Prize for proposing the double helix structure in 1953, he was the director of the Cold Springs Genetics Research Laboratory, a government study group in Manhattan Island, New York. Ask him to give an update. Where are we at with genetics? Why haven't we solved a single disease? Why haven't we prevented one? Why haven't we cured one after with all this technology and trillions of dollars spent? He gets up in front of this illustrious crowd, 150 Nobel Prize winners and 150 heads of departments of genetics and chemistry and medical schools, and I'm quoting him now. You can sequence the genes of 150,000 people who have diseases you think of that are being genetically transmitted, like cancer, like Alzheimer's disease, like diabetes, and you're not going to cure a single disease. I'm still quoting him. He said, all the experiments we've done over the last 6 years have been irrelevant. I guarantee you, every heart in that room stopped at that point because they knew where the next foot was going to fall. It's all chemistry, biochemistry, aka nutritional deficiencies. Now, I said that in the 1960s and early 70s, and that's why my book is in the Smithsonian Institute as a national treasure. So I'm very, very proud of that. Hoorah! So we don't have the genetic theory anymore. We don't have the saturated fat and cholesterol theory anymore. What do we have? We have epigenetics. Epigenetics talks about potential rather than genetics. Okay? That's me in 1977 with one of my cystic fibrosis monkeys at Yerkes Primate Center at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And epigenetics is a new word. It's only 10 years old. Didn't exist back then. But I knew there was something wrong with the genetic theory back in the 60s because when I was doing all those autopsies with Marlon Perkins, guess what, both in humans and animals, I'm finding human genetic diseases in crocodiles and alligators, like type 2 diabetes. I'm finding diseases from the African-American community like sickle cell anemia in antelopes and hummingbirds. Are you kidding me? How did that happen? That didn't sound right. And so I said it couldn't be genetic as everybody thought. And everybody laughed at me. Well, now we have a word to explain that. It's called epigenetics. Because every disease, every birth defect you can name, and 10 times that many you can't, are caused by nutritional deficiencies of the embryo, has nothing to do with genetic transmission, nothing. Every one of them. So, how do you fix this? Well, what you do, When somebody gets engaged, when somebody gets married, do not give them a towel set with their initials monogrammed on it. Do not give them a set of linens or dishware. What you do is you give them the 90 for life and save their kids and you'll save America. Hooray! Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, Wallach, it's got to be genetic because I run into all these families that have, you know, what do you call it, is generational things like diabetes. But it has nothing to do with genetics. It has everything to do with a problem called gluten intolerance is passed on from mothers to their babies. Boys get it, but they don't pass it on because they don't have pregnancy and breastfeed. I can make that happen to you. It doesn't happen normally. Okay. And so it's a gluten intolerance. So why does that happen? How does gluten intolerance cause a generational thing for disease we thought were genetically transmitted? Well, it turns out that